Tuned into Bradford. This is BCB 106.6 FM.
Hello and welcome to Sound and Vision on BCB 106.6 FM. I'm Mary Dowson.
And I'm Katie Canning, and we'll be bringing you the latest news from the Science and Media Museum, which of course is closed at the moment to prepare for exciting new galleries.
Now, last month on Sound and Vision, we were joined by Yvonne from the Sound and Vision project team, who spoke about the changes currently taking place at the museum.
And we also celebrated the museum's 40th birthday and heard about the recent film created to mark this special occasion.
But on today's programme, we're joined by Sam, who's a learning producer at the museum, and Emma, who works in the museum's fantastic explainer team.
We'll be hearing all about Sam's work on the Sound and Vision Youth Forum and how they're helping to shape the project. And Emma will be telling us about the exciting activities that the museum has planned across the city this summer.
So let's start with Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Emma.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So Emma's a senior explainer who works as part of the museum's learning team to bring inspiring science to life. So Emma, first off, can you just give us a bit of an overview of what you do at the museum?
Oh, so much fun stuff. I lead a group of explainers and we deliver content for schools and families and community groups. Obviously, we'd normally do that at the museum when it's open in our Wonderlab studio and around the building. But at the moment, we're going wherever anyone wants us. We do science shows, we do demonstrations, we do make and take and tinkering activities. Just loads of really enjoyable stuff to help people get interested in science.
That's so exciting. So the museum is obviously temporarily closed at the moment until summer next year. So with the museum closed and the summer holidays just around the corner, where can we see you and the team around Bradford this summer?
We're doing a bit of a tour, to be honest. We've got a bit of a residency at Bradford Museums and Galleries, so we'll be across lots of their sites over the summer. We've got a great relationship going on with them. We'll be doing a summer reading challenge in Bradford Libraries as well. For both of these events, we are doing tinkering activities. So we've got one called Game, Set and Match, which is about the future of broadcasting, using some of our objects as inspiration. And the other one is called Tinkering with Toys. So we're looking at some toys that might have been part of our collection and part of the Bradford Museums and Galleries handling collection and inspiring visitors to create their own things. So they're regular things that we've got going on over the summer, but we're also popping up at lots of different community events as well. We're going to be at Yorkshire Day in Keighley at the end of July, and we're doing a few teddy bears picnics as well, which should be very interesting, reading some stories and doing some activities there.
Ooh, very exciting.
It is very exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting, Emma, because I know that, you know, normally, as you said, in the summer, you'd be offering all the activities in the museum. But this has really, I suppose, made you have to think about your work in a different way.
Absolutely. And I think it's an amazing opportunity for us. As soon as we found out we were going to be doing things over the summer, I instantly was thinking about people that maybe haven't been to the museum before or don't find it very easy to get to the building. So it's ways that we can get to those people. And it's giving us chance to work at exciting new places as well. There's a lot of places I'm really looking forward to going.
I mean, it's interesting because one of the questions you have to ask is a museum just a building? Or, you know, is a museum more than a building? And this really is sort of proving that it is more than a building.
Absolutely.
So what is really exciting you then? What's the most exciting thing you're going to be doing over the summer?
Oof. oh, what's the most exciting thing I'm doing? We had, before the museum closed, we had a really exciting Bradford Science Festival Family Day. And one of the things I'm doing as part of the community day, I created a showcase of the Orion Space Capsule. So we've got a model made of wood of the Orion Space Capsule, and we're talking about the journey of it and what it's made from and all the vision technology that's used on it. So I'm looking forward to taking the Orion on the road, I guess. That's what I'm looking forward to most. And just, again, seeing all of these new buildings that I might not have been to before.
So cool. You've got a busy summer ahead. back to your kind of role as like an explainer at the museum, like, do you have a favourite thing about being an explainer and the job that you do day to day?
I have two favourite things. So my favourite thing in terms of what's fun about the job is that I do stuff that I would never have dreamed I could do for a job. Blowing up Pringles tubes, spraying chemicals into flames, making elephant's toothpaste. Never thought that I would ever get to do anything like that. And then the secondary part of that, which I enjoy most, is seeing the reactions of people. For example, I did the elephant's toothpaste in a show today for a school, and as a child was walking out, they said, "I didn't know that was science." And so doing the stuff is fun for me, but then seeing the reactions of people watching it is equally as rewarding.
It's interesting, you've got a role as an explainer, and it's the job, and you get paid for doing all those things that you've just mentioned, which a lot of people would find, you know, my goodness, can you actually do a job?
Yeah.
That's like, how did you become an explainer, Emma?
I worked at a supermarket for a really long time. I got the job straight out of university because I needed the money. Didn't expect to be there for very long, but was there for sort of 7 years. Was getting a bit tired of it. And I was on an amateur dramatics Facebook group, and someone had advertised the job on there and just said, "For anyone that's interested in performing, this might be a really good job for you." And it's quite scary because I live in West Yorkshire, but it takes me quite a while to get to Bradford. And I thought, oh, do I go for this opportunity? But it was a mixture of performing and teaching. And there were two things that I really enjoyed doing. I really enjoy teaching things to children and to adults, really. And I enjoy performing as well. And I think bringing those two things together was just something that really interested me. But it's not very often that you say that you find a job like this on somewhere like this. But to be honest, but yeah, that's where I found it. And that's how I ended up where I am nearly 4 years later. And I love it.
And you never quite know where life's going to take you, do you?
No.
And in terms of the science, obviously a lot of the things that you do is explaining science. Was that something you've had to learn?
Absolutely. I was definitely more of English. English was my subject, and I did journalism as a degree, so it wasn't anything that I'd even really taken an interest in before. And then when I got to the museum, there was a lot of stuff that I've learned, and I've fostered an interest in it. So it's kind of practicing what you preach, really. We're trying to improve visitor science capital, people that might not think science is for them, but we're doing that for ourselves. I've learned so much about space since I've done this job, and I now find space really, really interesting. So yeah, I've had to learn a lot, but I found it really interesting as well. It's all sorts of weird and wonderful facts that you find out.
And science isn't a subject, is it? Science is just part of life.
Absolutely, which is one of the main messages of everything that we do in our content, really, that anyone can be a scientist. There's a lot of things that you probably do every day and you don't think about it, and you're actually doing science, making a cup of tea, baking a cake, even listening to some music. Like, all of those things are science, and to watch people realize that is really fulfilling, because they start to realize that actually it is a subject that they enjoy, they just didn't know it.
And especially for girls, because we all know it's still a major issue, isn't it, to get girls kind of visioning themselves as being scientists or understanding science or moving into those careers that need a bit more science. So I'm sure, Emma, that you must be an inspiration.
Hopefully.
You definitely are. Great. So just, I guess, one last question is, obviously, this is the Sound and Vision programme, and we're looking forward to our Sound and Vision galleries opening. What kind of excites you most about Sound and Vision and sort of the changes that are taking place in the next couple of years?
So I have been visiting this museum for a long time before I started working here. And so many of the things started to become really familiar to me, but also, you know, these are the things that we're changing. And I think it's really exciting to have grown up seeing, you know, the similar galleries. So you've got the Wombles and things like that, but seeing how they can change, I think that's what I'm looking forward to most, seeing what we can do with them and maybe bringing out objects that people hadn't seen before or have an interesting story. And I think the stories are a thing that's exciting me as well about it. Obviously, we've had community consultations and things like that, and I think that's one thing that I'm looking forward to. And I'm thinking as well, because of all of this that we've been doing over this temporary closure period and the community days that we've got coming up in August, I'm hoping that brings more people into the museum. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's changed, but also seeing how that brings audiences back to us and maybe brings people who haven't been to the museum before or don't really come very often. I think it's a really exciting time of change.
Absolutely. Emma, thank you so much. Just before you go, just remind us again where we're going to see you popping up over the summer holidays.
Okay, so we've got, throughout the summer, we're in Bradford Museums and Galleries. There's various sites of those. We're in lots of Bradford libraries. We've got community days for the Bradford Science Festival throughout August. So they'll be on the Bradford Science Festival website, community venues. And we've also got random pop-up events in your area. We might be at some school fairs or Yorkshire Day, things like that as well. So here, there and everywhere.
Lovely. I hope you've got your bus day rovers planned. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Emma. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Have a great summer. Thank you.
You too.
And that was Emma Hart there, the senior explainer at the Science and Media Museum, talking to us about their changed summer to the one that they would normally do, Katie.
Yeah, it's very exciting times.
Indeed. Now, you've chosen this piece of music that you thought was appropriate to play for after Emma's interview. It's Alice Cooper and School's Out. And that's Alice Cooper there with Schools Out. So you're listening to Sound and Vision on BCB 106.6 FM with me, Mary Dowson.
And me, Katie Canning. So welcome back. We're now going to chat to Sam, who's a learning producer, who's working on the Sound and Vision Project's Youth Forum. So hi, Sam.
Hiya.
So first off, do you want to just give us a quick overview of what you do at the museum as a learning producer? It sounds very exciting.
Sure. We have a few learning producers, but I think each of us focus on different areas. So I focus a lot on young people and the Youth Forum as well. And I think I like to think my role it focuses a lot on helping them making the museum better for young people. I do that by engaging them with events and getting them involved in the shaping of the galleries through the Youth Forum and also through other groups of young people coming in and consulting.
Brilliant. And can you just tell us a bit more about sort of what the Youth Forum is and how they're involved in Sound and Vision?
Sure. Yeah. Currently, it's a group of young people from around Bradford. It's 8 young people at the minute, but we're always looking for more people to join. You don't have to live in Bradford. You can also work in Bradford. But we've got a big range of groups of people that are interested in loads of different things, interested in technology and like being creative and art, and they're super inspirational. They're involved in a lot of the sound and vision stuff, but they're also involved in some of the stuff that's going to be happening when the museum reopens, like activities and shows and stuff like that as well.
It's interesting that for many young people, they often feel they're not really welcomed into museums, and so this initiative of having the Youth Forum feels like a really good way of actually saying, yeah, it's your space and we really we welcome you into the museum. We're not trying to keep you out, or if you behave badly or don't quite know exactly how to behave, then this feels like a real nice way to welcome people, young people in.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Youth Forum is working towards making the museum a better space to do that, to have young people feel more comfortable. But also, I think it's been really helpful to host events that are specifically for young people, and also like created by young people. So like we did a fashion show that was made by young people for young people. And I think that was just really changed young people's perspectives that were involved in it about how the museum can be useful for them.
And it's about how else can you use the space as well, isn't it, really?
Mm.
You know, we had a chat with Emma just before, and we were just saying, you know, is a museum just a building? And we kind of probably think it's not, because you can do, as a museum, you can do things out and about in the community. But also, it's sort of, is a museum just for showing pieces of art or pieces of science? And clearly, you can do so much more in the museum space.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like with the fashion show, using the giant sphere we have, that was like the with a runway right around it. I thought that was really interesting. But also, the sound division is going to be opening up a lot of space in the foyer as well. So I feel like we could host a lot of interesting events. I feel like I have a lot of ideas, but I feel like they need to stay in my head before they get too far. But, yeah,
you get too giddy, Sam.
Yeah.
So obviously the museum's temporarily closed at the moment, so it'd be great to hear about kind of what you've been doing in your role as learning producer while it's been closed, and sort of what the next steps are for the Youth Forum during this period of closure.
I think the Youth Forum has pretty much been staying the same, because it's just we're just meeting in different locations. I think that the difference is that you can't necessarily tie so much of actually being in the museum. You can't see the space physically, but we can focus on other stuff around that. But then also, the shows that we've been doing in the museum, it's now given us an opportunity to have, I feel like Emma might have talked a bit about it, but we've been going out a lot into the communities, and one of my parts of my job is looking at youth clubs and like places and like high schools that we haven't necessarily gone to before or interacted with, and tailoring shows specifically to them, especially people that... people in groups that wouldn't normally come into the museum, we're allowed to go out to them, and we've got the time and the resources now to do that while the museum's closed.
Yeah, we did ask Emma a little bit about how she feels her role is changing, because you do have this forced closure of the museum, but also it's an opportunity as well. How do you feel it's an opportunity for you, Sam?
I think it's an opportunity just to branch out to young people, because I think we have a lot of shows that are developed for like children and families, but we haven't really we just haven't had the time to focus on like teenagers and young people in general, and actually go out and reach those groups that just aren't coming back into the museum. So I think that's a huge opportunity, and it's previously been a problem that the explainers are always working in the museum, but now like we can work together and everyone can work to go out into the communities, which that's just a huge opportunity for me and the team.
Have you had any nuggets of wisdom from any of the young people that you've spoken to so far?
Plenty, yeah. I think
any that you can broadcast.
I think it's just about that. I think that specifically about sound and vision in the galleries that we're working on. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in the galleries, but I think it's the importance of face value. These things may not be so interesting to young people, but when they actually spend the time to learn, like to read the stories about it or to understand why it's interesting, it becomes a lot more interesting to them. And I feel like a lot of the things that you would think they would think are boring, when we've spent time on them, that there are stories that they're really interested in. So it's that kind of like how do you bring the shine out of these objects with dust on, in a metaphorical sense, I guess, and also a physical sense.
So how long is the museum closed for? It's about a year?
Till next summer.
Right. So you've got the summer and then you've got the winter, Sam. Any long-term plans of what you're going to be doing?
Yeah. We're going to be focusing on a bit of Bradford Science Festival. We've got community days that are going to be happening at the end of summer. And then after that, we're going to be looking at the Material Matters story in Sound and Vision, which is about sound and vision technology materials, how they're wasted, recycled, and they're also some of the materials in short supply. So the Youth Forum will be looking at that story and thinking about how it's best told, as well as possibly looking at like a production of a film, or maybe touring some recycling plants and stuff like that, and seeing what we can use and put on gallery.
Sounds lots of fun, lots and lots of fun to be had. So if there are young people what who would be interested in being part of the Youth Forum, what kind of age are you looking at, and how can they join in with you?
Yeah, so we're looking for 14 to 19 year olds who live or work or study in Bradford, and if you want to get involved and it sounds interesting, then you can get involved by searching Science and Media Museum Youth Forum, and it'll just have a get involved tab.
Good. Yeah. And how often do you meet?
Monthly, but most of the time more than monthly. But it's a mixture of online and in-person sessions. So we work around what's convenient for the young people.
Brilliant.
Great. So just, I guess, finally, Sam, like, what excites you the most about Sound and Vision and all the changes that are taking place over the next couple of years?
I think the opportunity for the museum to do things that the public wouldn't normally expect. I think we've got, when the galleries are opening and the museum's opening, we're going to have a lot of time to plan for that, and we're going to have a lot of space to do things that we wouldn't usually do. So more interesting events for young people that will hopefully breathe fresh air into some parts of the museum.
That's great. We can't wait to see what comes out of the forum.
Absolutely. No, I'm sure you've got loads of ideas coming forward from the young people.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sam. That's great.
Thanks a lot.
And we'll speak to you, I'm sure, very shortly again on the programme. Have a great summer.
Yeah, I'll make sure to get the youth forum on at some point.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Yeah.
They could come and do their own programme, couldn't they?
That would be good.
Hey.
I love that.
Let's do that, Sam. Right, we've had an idea. That was my giddy idea. Lovely. Thanks, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
See ya.
And that was Sam Lionheart, a learning producer working with the Sound and Vision Youth Forum. And keeping with the theme of summer, here's The Loving Spoonful.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity, doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world, go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night, despite the heat it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
And that's The Loving Spoonful there with Summer in the City. Now, as we know, the museum is temporarily closed until the summer of 2024, but it's not completely closed, is it, Katie?
Absolutely not. So Pictureville Cinema is still open 7 days a week. And we've got an amazing lineup of films coming this summer. We've got all the big blockbusters. So we've got Barbie and Oppenheimer, the new Indiana Jones and Mission Impossible. And we've also got tickets on sale now for our science fiction double features, which are on Saturdays throughout July. And on top of that, we've got special family matinee performances throughout the summer as well. Which, so get your kids down there if you want a quiet afternoon at the cinema.
Or that wet day when you look out, you're planning the seaside, but actually it's bucketing down, then yeah. the matinee sounds great. So, well, that's it for this month's edition of Sound and Vision, and we'll be back in a month's time.
Yes.
I've been Mary Dowson.
And I've been Katie Canning.
And we'll see you then.
Bradford. This is BCB 106.6 FM.
You're listening to None Other Than Abbey's Obscurities on None Other Than BCB Radio. And that means you're stuck with me, Abby Swift, for the next half an hour as I introduce you to the wonderful world of obscurities, spanning the genres, the decades and the world. But there is one catch. Every song I play has to be under 1 million streams. So hopefully you'll find your favourite new song by the end of the show.
So, what has been your favourite song this week? Mine has been Bags by Calero, an absolute indie classic. I'm loving listening to it at the moment. It's summery, it's fun, but I'm looking forward to today, as we're going to explore some real niche songs that I've even struggled to sort of tie to a specific genre. We're going to broadly look at some dream pop, some indie, some psychedelia, and some things in between. So let's kick things off with Sour Sun by Wombo. Band from Kentucky. That was Sour Sun by Wombo. They fully formed in 2016 after the addition of drummer Joel Taylor. This song is a great combo of funny sounding rhythms and melodies, as you could probably hear there, paired with perfect soundscapes of vocals and guitars. It's a really great mix between sort of post-punk, psychedelic rock. The band have created a really, really unique sound. This song is from their 2022 album called Fairy Dust, which received amazing reviews and have helped them grow their fan base. So if you like this song, you should check out Dreamsicle and Slab if you want to hear some more of these guys. Next up, we have Milk Film by a band called Haircut 100. Have a listen. Thank you. a band truly ahead of their time, both musically and technologically. The band formed in 1980 in London, and I actually thought at first that they were a modern band from maybe, I don't know, this sort of era. And when I found that they were from 1980, I was so shocked because they do sound so modern. Just everything sounds so clean, and yeah, all the ideas are just so fresh. For a four-piece band full of wacky ideas and are truly masters of their craft. They've since announced a reunion tour, which commences later this year, if you're interested. The band features saxophone lines, static, funny guitar parts and witty lyrics, but they still manage to hold this sort of new wave sounds that's so similar to sort of the Smiths and China Crisis. But next up, we are coming back to the modern day with a band called Twen, and this song is called One Stop Shop. Bending rock outfit, which is led by two van-dwelling psychos. That is their Spotify bio, and I think that's pretty perfect, really. That was One Stop Shop by Twen. The duo got together and released their first EP in 2017, and are on the verge of blowing up since the release of their album called One Stop Shop, which, you guessed it, this song is from. The group make use of sort of different influences and sound very similar to bands like Pax and Mamalaki, who we're actually going to play right now. This is their song called You Make Me Smile.
Mm-hmm.
That was You Make Me Smile by Mamalaki. Mamalaki is an experimental rock and roll four-piece from Texas, but are currently based in Los Angeles. The band formed in 2016 in middle school with drummer Dylan Hill, singer-guitarist Libby Bennett and keyboardist Michael Hunter, and then the bassist joined the group in 2018. This song is from their 2020 self-titled album. However, if you like this track, I can highly recommend checking out their most recent album, which is called Pocket Fantasy, released just last year. Now, next up, we have another psychedelic-y fun band called Mandrake Handshake, and this song is called Monolith. We'll be right back. Psychedelic Adventure by Mandrake Handshake. That song was called Monolith. The band formed in Oxford in 2018 and is still pretty underground in terms of numbers, and this is their most popular song. They call themselves a hypnotic psych collective, and they actually consist of 9 band members. I found working with 3 other band members hard enough, so I don't know what 9 must be like. Their style is self-dubbed flower kraut, which is music to dance to with wild abandon or to meditate on. And if you like this track, I recommend listening to some other groups of a similar sound, such as Honeyglaze and Pale Blue Eyes. Now, this is more like it. This next band is a 5-piece band, and they're from Singapore. They're called Subsonic Eye, and they started releasing music in 2017. The band make fast-paced, layered indie pop with hints of post-punk and dream pop, which you're about to hear, with exciting clarity and tone in their recordings. And again, this band are really on the verge of blowing up in the USA and the UK. This song called Fruitcake is from their 2021 album called Nature of Things, which I must recommend listening to, as well as their most streamed song called Cosmic Realignment from their debut album. If you like this sound, check out some other bands like Bedchamber and Cosmic Child if you like the sound of these guys, which you're about to hear right now.
She's been looking.
That was Fruitcake by Subsonic Eye. Like I said, they're a five-piece band from Singapore, and they are truly, truly something great. But unfortunately, this next song is going to be the last song for Abby's Obscurities this week, but we're ending on a high. This song is called Graduate and Congratulate by Stove. And Stove is the solo work of Ovlov's Steve Harlett. And if you know Ovlov, which I played here before, you can really, really hear a resemblance. He released his first album in 2015, and the initial solo act grew into a four-piece band in 2018 with the release of their record Favourite's Friend. So if you have time, go and check out Ovlov, because they are a really, really, really great band. So like I said, we're ending on a high. I really hope you enjoy this last one. And if you can't remember any of the songs that I've played today, or you want to look back on all the previous Abby's Obscurities, all the way back from the very first episode, you can find my Spotify playlist called BCB Radio Abby's Obscurities on Spotify. It's pretty good. Give it a like, give it a listen. But for now, I'm sure I'll be back next week with some more tunes for you. So I hope you've enjoyed. You've been listening to Abby's Obscurities on BCB Radio. Have an amazing evening.
never saw you.